Listen, guys, as we go on, as we move on for the service tonight, we've been reading in the Romans, the 8th chapter, In Christ is the title of the series. I believe this is part number 7, right? Joey, you've done 3. I've done 3. This is number 4, right? Joey's done 2, so this is part number 6. We'll find that out. It's one of those parts. It's number 6 or 7. I have it listed as 7. It is part number 6. Thanks, Antonio. We've been going through Romans, the 8th chapter. Some of you guys who have been here for the weeks know that, you know, as we've been talking about Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul the Apostle, you guys know who Paul, many of you know who Paul the Apostle is. Paul the Apostle is writing to Roman, the church in Rome. And Romans is such a unique book because the Romans at the time were like the metropolitan people that you and I would think of today, like the people like downtown New Yorkers, the Los Angelinos, or the people who live in Chicago. Like, they're the metropolitan people living in their apartment flats and, you know, their penthouse suites, whatever, okay? They like it fast. They like it. Just keep going. You know, information. You know how we're the information day and age. We got our cell phones. I have 2 of them. You know, we just got bam, bam, you know, looking up one thing on one hand, looking up on the other thing. The Romans were like that back in the day. They just wanted it fast. They wanted the nitty-gritty. They wanted the details. The Hebrews, they wanted the linealogy and all the theology and the pathology of Jesus. The Romans, man, just give me the story, give me the headlines, hit it to me, bam, sock it to me, right? So Paul's writing in Romans, the 8th chapter, and he's just hitting these Romans with it, man. He's just pounding them with all this good stuff. So as we've been going through the 8th chapter, Paul starts to get on the subject about being in Christ. Now, you guys will remember, this is a review that every day we have a decision as we wake up. You know, you guys, some of this is really familiar. Like, man, we're going over this again. Every day you've got a decision. When you wake up, if you don't make that decision when you wake up, you make it 10 seconds later. You keep making the decision. You have a decision, one, to live in Christ, or two, to not. To live in yourself, to live in the flesh, to operate the way you know to, with the flesh, with the world, or to operate in Christ. Paul's talking to the Roman church here, and he's talking about living in Christ. This whole 8th chapter is just packed with stuff. We've been going through, Pastor Joey, if you guys were here last week, hit it on how much God loves us. The end of Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul starts to concentrate on the love of God. It's so amazing that as we have the series conclusion tonight of Romans, the 8th chapter of In Christ, and how Pastor Joey touched on love, that God comes on the last night of the series and moves in this place. God shows his love through to us. God proves his love for us by bringing his anointing, by setting it down, by touching your hearts, by giving you that feeling of comfort, that restoration, that healing. God is here. I just think that's so awesome that God says, you know what, I love you so much, I'm going to show you tonight in shift. It's going to be a turning point. I mean, I have never probably cried like that. I mean, I'm like smiling and crying, but holy cow. Is Javier, are you here tonight? I don't think Javier's here tonight. Man, see, I'm gonna punk him because him and me are crybaby. He'll be mad if I tell you that. But listen, anyways, we're going to Romans, the 8th chapter. If you have your Bibles, if you would, turn into Romans, the 8th chapter. Keep your finger there because we're going to be studying out of Romans tonight. I'm going to start looking at chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. I actually might start a little bit early. Let me see. No, let's do for the 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse number 37. Yet in all these things, verse number 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Guys, Paul, he's closing it out here in the 8th chapter. I mean, the book of Romans keeps going, and it just keeps going. But Paul here in the 8th chapter settles down on the love of Christ, and he says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Some of us have persecution in our lives. Some of us are feeling that pressure. Some of us have distress. Some of us feel naked, not maybe physically, but spiritually, emotionally. What shall separate us from the love of God? And as Pastor Joey preached last night, God is here. God, last week, God loves you. God loves you so much, and He gave us so many examples of the love of Christ. If you guys didn't hear that message, I encourage you to go online, shifthappensfriday.com or rockchurch.com, and check out the podcast. I'm telling you, man, it's just going to change your life. Tonight, though, I want to focus in on verse number 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Tonight, in Christ, when you make that decision to live in Christ, you are more than conquerors. You are not just conquerors. You're not just winners. You are more than conquerors. Now, when I think of conquerors, that's kind of like an archaic term. I mean, we don't really use the word conquer very often. I think of like the conquistadors, you know, the guys with the Spanish conquistadors with the big old helmet, right? I mean, like, they weren't really good. I'm not saying that, you know, we're like them. I mean, they came and killed all the indigenous people and wiped them out. But I mean, if you think about the example of the conquistadors, I mean, they came with advanced weapons compared to, you know, the Mayans and the Incas and the natives of South America and Central America and North America. They came, they had diseases that the natives and indigenous people had never even seen. They had horses. They brought horses over. People had never even seen these before. They had these big, tall wooden ships, guns, shields, armor, right? And these guys are coming at sticks, bows, and arrows. I mean, they were just in awe about that. And it was like full-on just onslaught, right? I mean, if you guys know your history or just think about it now, the Mayans, the Incans, they're not around. But that's because the conquistadors conquered them, right? We are like those conquistadors. We have the edge up when we live in Christ. We have the upper hand. When we live in Christ, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. Now think about how when those conquistadors came, they punked them, man. All right, it wasn't maybe the greatest thing. All right, it's not like, you know, mankind's highest, you know, moment. But at the same time, if you think about the overall conquering that they came and did, they took over the land, they took all the things, right? Think about it like this. Now that's kind of a negative sense, but think about it like this. You are now a conqueror. You can take the land. You can take those things that are now yours from the devil, from that who was taken back from you. Now, you know, these conquistadors, they came, they took the gold out of the land, they took the women and the children out of the land, they took whatever they wanted. Now you can come and you can plunder the kingdom of darkness. You can come and you can plunder Satan's world, his reign, his domain, because you know what? In Christ, the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors. Tonight, with the subject of in Christ, we are more than conquerors. I want to give three little things. We don't have a lot of time, but I want to give you three things tonight about being more than conquerors. Having a winner's attitude. Having that conquering attitude tonight so that you can leave this place. If you take these points, you can leave this place with your chest out high, with your arms flexed good. Because you can know that, you know what, when the Satan comes against you, when the battles, when the persecution like Paul talks about, when the nakedness, when the famine comes, when those hard times, when the tribulation comes, you can know that you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a winner. You have overcome everything that Satan can throw against you. You have overcome everything that the world can put in your way. You have already overcome it through Christ. So tonight we have three small things, three short points. Number one, in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. Number one, keep your head up. Now, what does that have to do with being a conqueror, Pastor Luke? As I started thinking about the points, I started thinking about the winner's attitude, the conquistador's attitude, that conquering attitude. You know, when you come up against somebody, when you come up against a fight, how many of you know that the opponent can read you, right? You watch those guys on like the UFC or, you know, team versus team. Like even if it's just like the World Cup, the teams, they start to read each other's weaknesses, right? The boxers in the match, they start to say, all right, you know, this guy's got a weak right side. Start hitting him in the right. Or, you know, the boxer, you know, he's got his ribs exposed. Start hitting him in the ribs, right? The enemy is just the same way. He takes you and he starts to examine you. He looks at you and he says, all right, here's their weakness. But here's what you got to do. You got to keep your head up. You got to keep fighting. Keep that chest out. Keep that arms ready to go. Because you know what? How many times do you guys know that when something comes against you, you know, in the fight, you see a boxer, or you see a team, man, they got beat and they just lose, right? They just let it go. It's just gone. The team, you can tell, it's just downhill and they just can't recover. So many times as Christians, we come against the things of this world, trials, tribulations, things that we're believing for, guys, faith in general. So many times we have things that we're believing for, things that we're standing on, the restoration of our families, for jobs, for college tuition to come in, for cars, for whatever it may be, for provision, for healing. So many times in our life we stand on that, but we don't keep our head up. How many of you guys know? The world comes, the enemy comes, and he buffets us. Hits us left and right. The world comes, the problems of the world, tribulation, trials, nakedness come. And sometimes we start to hang our head a little low. Ah, this weight's too heavy. You know, I'm believing God for this healing, God, but it's just too hard. It hurts too much. And all of a sudden we start walking with a limp. We got our head down. And how many of you guys know that all of a sudden, as Christians who have been called, like Paul says in Romans, to be more than conquerors, how many of you know? There's so many of us, myself included, that have walked around with a limp, with our head hung low, with our tail between our legs, because we couldn't keep our head up high, we couldn't keep our head, you know, our chin up. Tonight, I'm here to tell you guys, keep your head up. When the world comes against you, you can stand on the promises of Christ. The Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors. The Bible tells us that we can do all things. The Bible tells us that if we resist the enemy, he must flee. You can keep your head up tonight. And in doing so, you'll keep that conquering attitude. In verse number 38, Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels, demons, present or the future, any powers," and so on. Paul says, "I am convinced." I am convinced. Paul doesn't say, "I think." Paul doesn't say, "I hope." That neither death nor life. Paul didn't say, you know, I'm assuming that neither death nor life nor angels. Paul says, "I am convinced." How many of you guys know that when you are convinced, you are set, you are standing your ground. That is your fight. That is your argument. That is your stance. Paul says, "I am convinced." We as Christians, we as children of God, we who live in Christ can walk knowing that we are convinced that death, life, the angels, darkness, principalities, the things of this world, nakedness, famine, tribulation. We are convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That nothing can keep us from God. Nothing in this world, nothing that we can do, nothing that the enemy can bring against us can keep us from God. Tonight, I'm here to tell you guys that if you keep your chin up, you keep fighting, you hold your ground. When you're believing for something, don't start speaking something else about it. "Well, you know, I'm believing, but..." Don't start speaking your current situation. "I'm believing in God for healing, but I'm still hurting." No. You're believing God. You hold your ground. You forget what the present says, and you forget what the future says, because you're holding ground, and you look to God. You keep your chin up. James in the first chapter, verse number 6. If you want to turn in your Bibles there, keep your fingers in Romans because we're coming back. James in the first chapter, verse number 6. It's on the overhead as well. "But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt." It doesn't say he must believe and that's it. He must believe and hope. He must believe and wish for. He must believe and that's it. You know, have positive thinking. He must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed to the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. How many of you guys know when you're believing for something, when you're fighting a battle, and you start thinking other thoughts, you start thinking the contrary, you start letting your present situation come in, you're unstable. You're like a wave. All of a sudden, like a boxer, you lowered your guard, right? You need to believe and not doubt. When it comes to your faith, guys, when it comes to your belief, when it comes to your stance, hold on to it. Do not compromise. Do not let the things of this world come against you. Do not let the situations and the trials come and buffet you down, because that's exactly what they're going to try to do. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you keep your head up. You keep your chin out. and you fight. You stand for God tonight. And you will have that conquering attitude. You will win. You will beat the enemy. You will overcome the tribulations. Be convinced of that tonight, guys. Number two tonight, I'm more than a conqueror and having that conquering attitude. Keep moving forward. You know, we're talking about keeping our head up, having that conquering attitude. It's the same thing. When you see a battlefield, when you've seen those movies like Braveheart, or you've seen those movies like Gladiator, when in the beginning, when they're fighting in those big battles of, you know, thousands and thousands of people coming forward, eventually one side retreats, and that retreat, what does that retreat signal? When that army starts to back off, when the army starts to go away, you're looking at that in sports. Some of us can apply sports more than Gladiator. When the team starts to back off, when they start to get into that defensive mode only and they forget trying to score and just try to hold on. Try not to lose by so much. You guys know some of that strategy. You've seen that. Basketball, soccer, hockey. Sometimes the teams are down and they say, you know what, let's just count the loss and try not to get embarrassed. What does that signify? That signifies that the team has given up. The team has stopped fighting. The team has stopped trying to advance. Guys, let me tell you something. This walk of Christ, this is not just today, this is not just tomorrow. This is an all, every day, every hour, every minute, all the rest of your life fight. This isn't a sprint, this is a marathon, guys. We have got to keep moving forward. As children in Christ, if we want to conquer sin, we want to conquer the things of this world, we want to conquer the trials, the tribulations, the nakedness, the famine, we have got to keep moving forward in Christ tonight. Are you guys with me? Romans in the 8th chapter, verse number 38 and 39. Paul says, I am convinced that neither death, life, angels, demons, neither the present, the future, any powers, neither height or depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Paul says nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. In that love of Christ, we have been born again. In that love of Christ, we have been given a new body. In that love through Christ, we have been made a new creation. In that love through Christ, we have no condemnation. Through that love of Christ, we are more than conquerors. Nothing in this world, guys. Let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you this. The Lord has put a passion, He's put a zeal on this message tonight. Because let me tell you something. Nothing can get in your way from God. Nothing. You might say, you know, oh, Pastor Luke, but you don't understand. This is what's going on. Pastor Luke, but you don't get it. You know, your life's not like mine. But Pastor Luke, you don't see what I deal with when I'm not here at Shift. Guys, let me tell you something. Nothing can get in the way between you and Christ. You can make that decision. That decision is yours to follow after Christ and to keep moving forward. Are you with me in this place tonight? How many of you guys know that Christianity is an uphill road, right? It's maybe a rolling hill. You have our good times. We have our bad times. We bask in the sun. But let me tell you something, guys. When you're not moving forward, you're standing still. And when you're standing still in Christ, that's the first seed to backsliding. When you start to stand still and you start to compromise your stance, instead of moving forward, you hold off. Now all of a sudden, you started to open the door for the enemy to come in, for the trials and the tribulations to come into your life and start to affect the way you think, start to affect your faith, start to affect your belief. We have got to, especially as young adults, move forward for Christ. Never stop. Never look back. The past is the past. I know that that's a hard concept, but the past is in the past. You guys remember Rafiki? Is that his name? And Simba from The Lion King, and Simba's all, just, he's bitter, dude. You remember that? He's just crying about, man, they killed my dad, man, you know. And remember Rafiki bumps him over the head, and he's like, oh, what the heck was that for? That hurt. Why'd you do that? And Rafiki says, it doesn't matter. It's in the past, right? Guys, the past is in the past. Keep moving forward. Don't look back. Move forward for Christ, because now, all of a sudden, you're pushing through. You're bulldozing over those trials and tribulations. Yes, the hill's going to get steep. Yes, you may have to even take switchbacks instead of the direct route. But let me tell you something. God is here, and He says, Paul says, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing can get in your way, but it's your choice to keep moving forward. It's your choice to stand still, or it's your choice to start backing down. Let me tell you something, guys, tonight. If you want to be conquerors in the situations of your life, if you want to be conquerors in your family, you want to be example to your unsaved friends, you have got to keep moving forward, because that's the attitude of a conqueror. Are you with me tonight? Philippians 3:14. You don't have to turn there. It's just up on the overhead. Paul says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call. Paul doesn't say, I mosey on towards the goal. Paul doesn't say, I'll get there when I get there. It's, if I come in last, at least I finish the race. Okay. No, Paul doesn't say that. Paul says, I press towards the goal. What does press mean? When you press against something, when I take this table and I start pressing, what am I doing? I'm applying opposition to another force. Are you with me? I am pressing against something. Now you say, well, Luke, what is there to press towards? Well, obviously in a race, there's nothing to press towards. But in your life, those tribulations, those situations, those areas, those mountains that you seem like you can't climb, that faith for your friends, the faith for for the jobs, the faith for healing, the faith for your family, all of a sudden now you start pressing against what the enemy says. You know, that Satan says, your family will never be saved. Everybody thinks you're weird. You're the outcast of the family. Now, like Paul says, you start pressing against that. Now you're applying forward opposition and you're moving on. The Satan comes against you and says, that situation in your life, you're not going to get healed of that. There's too much wrong with you. God doesn't love you. God can't use you. God doesn't have a plan for you. You start pressing on and you say, I am convinced that God has a plan for me. You start pushing that out of the way. And let me tell you something. Now you're going to have that conquering attitude. Are you guys with me tonight? Number three tonight, in being more than conquerors for Christ, focus on Christ. Pastor Dan preached a message this Wednesday night. If you didn't hear it, I strongly, strongly suggest you to get online and hear it, because it deals with focusing on Christ, guys. This whole message, this whole series has been about being in Christ. And if we don't focus on Christ, if we don't move in Christ, then what is this for? What are our lives for? Paul says in Romans the 8th chapter, verse number 39, neither height, depth, anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Guys, it's all about that. That's what it all boils down to. You focus on Christ in your walk with God. If there's things in your life that are causing you distraction, if there's things in your life that are taking up your time, if there's things in your life that are pulling you away from Christ, get them out. Don't put them off the side. Get them out. Pastor Dan talked about that on Wednesday night. You have a problem with pornography and the internet? Get the internet out of your house. That's it. Focus on Christ, because what's more important, this world or the eternity with Christ? If you've got a problem, you watch too much TV, then turn it off. Cancel DirecTV or cancel Verizon, or just turn off the set-top box. Unplug the TV for a week. Focus, guys. Focus on Christ. The end goal is Christ. The Bible says in James that if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. We focus on Christ. We place our attention on Christ as we move forward. We're drawing near. You know what you might say? Well, Luke, I haven't heard from God in a long time. Pastor Luke, I've never heard from God. God's never spoken to me. God's never given me that call in my life. God's never told me where to go. Let me tell you something, guys. It's an assurance to you tonight. If you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Focus on Christ. Believe for Christ. Push towards Christ. And watch your situation start to change. Watch your viewpoint. Wow, I can't get this done. Wow, I'm never going to get that job. Wow, I'm never going to get into that school. I can't pass this class. I'm going to lose my job. I can't stand my employees. My family's never going to get saved. You watch your outlook change as you push towards Christ. All of a sudden, your viewpoint, your perspective begins to become like Christ. And you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this. I'm a more than a conqueror in Christ. God is with me. Who is against me? All of a sudden, now you have that winning attitude. In closing tonight, the Bible tells us, guys, our lives are but a vapor in James, the 4th chapter, verse number 14. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. Our lives are but a vapor compared to eternity. That's it. That's it. That's the term of your life compared to the eternal world. That's it. Boom. Done. A vapor. What are you going to do with that vapor? You know, I've referred to it once already. It's evident that it's one of my favorite movies, but Gladiator. Yeah, all right. Get a couple chuckles because I know some of you guys are with me. You remember when Russell Crowe in the beginning of the movie's on his horse and they're about to go charging the barbarians, try to finish out the war in Germania? And he says, "Brothers, what we do in this life echoes in eternity," right? And all the guys are like, "Oh," right? Brothers, sisters, what we do in this life echoes in eternity. This life is a vapor. Are you going to focus on Christ or are you going to get pulled aside? Are you going to worry about the latest who's it and what's it, what they're doing on TV, what this style is, what the newest latest song is, what the coolest fashion is? Or are you going to focus in on Christ and that be your number one priority? Are you going to be more than a conqueror in your life? Are you going to conquer those things that come against you? The nakedness, the famine, the peril, the tribulations and the trials? Or are you going to get mowed over like everybody else? No, I believe tonight in this place, guys, that you, every one of you can be more than a conqueror in Christ tonight. Keep your head up. Keep moving forward, guys. And follow after Christ, because that's what it all boils down to. If you got something out of the word tonight, give God a praise.